today we're going to be talking about A Christmas Carol in this podcast. I'm Mrs. Dahl, and joining me to discuss the character Scrooge and his redemption are...
Annie.
Chloe.
Ava.
Okay, we don't mind where or when you listen, but if you're in a position to take notes, you should grab a pen and paper. So I'm going to begin with the question, what is Scrooge like in stage one?
He is a miser, and he's very solitary.
Yes.
Which both mean that a miser means that he's very obsessed with money and greed, and solitary means that he's very lonely.
Yes. Does he feel lonely?
No.
He feels like, he's
happy with the way he is.
Did we get some hints in stage one, though, that he may not be as hard and mean and as it suggested?
Yeah. So, for example, one of the quotes is solitary as an oyster, and that suggests that he's not as, like, lonely and not as evil as we think, because oysters have a little pearl inside, so the pearl could suggest that in his heart there's some goodness left and it just needs to be shown.
Yeah, he could have
he just
needs
to crack it open and show
it's
true.
To crack it open.
Yeah. Show the good in them.
Yeah, they're soft inside, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And they do have that, you know, some of them have a pearl, so there is that potential that he's got that little hidden bit of jewel inside.
Yeah, like he might be alone like an oyster, and he might be like hard on the outside like an oyster, but on the inside he's not. He's completely opposite.
Yeah, lots of people put on like a hard exterior, but inside's really feel. And then we've got hard and sharp as flint as well.
Yeah.
And do you know what flint is?
Flint isn't very hard, is it? Like it can be broken easily.
It can be broken. What do you use it for?
Lighting fires.
So again, it is something that's broken. It is something that's cold. It is like a rock. So it's something that's cold. So if you touched it, it will feel cold, like Scrooge. But there's the potential for warmth because it creates fire. So there are some little hints that Dickens gives us that there is that potential there for Scrooge to become warm.
He's foreshadowing the end of the story, basically, or the play, or whatever it is.
There he is. Why does he create him the way he does in the beginning? Why does he make him a dislikable character?
He wants to make his redemption drastic. And he wants people to realise that you may be the worst creature in the entire world, but it doesn't mean that you can't change and you can't look to the bright side of everything.
He wanted to reflect how people behaved way back then as well, and he also wanted to reflect and show people that a little bit of kindness goes a long way, especially around a time like Christmas as well.
Yeah. I mean, he wanted to shock as well, didn't he? You know, he calls him a sinner. And in Victorian times, when they were really religious, that would have been quite shocking to the reader.
That's horrific. Like, if you're a sinner, then that you can't be any worse.
Yeah, because you can't go to heaven.
No.
So he kind of, you know, he does talk about him in, you know, really, really derogatory terms in that first stave, doesn't he? Okay, so at what point do we see him change?
I feel like some people might think it's too early, but when Marley comes to visit him, because you can already see his facade start to like break a bit, because at first he's just like, oh, you're not real, go away. But as you get on, he's just like, he hesitates, like when he's saying humbug and stuff, he's hesitating, showing that he's like, he's sort of cracking because he's not sure. Like, he's getting persuaded by Marley, but he's also, like, breaking out of his shell.
Yeah. And do you think he starts to change?
Probably when the first spirit comes to see him, because he takes him back to his past and, like, he looks back on who he was. And, like, when he gets introduced again to Fezziwig and how Fezziwig treated him, and he mentions, like, and he starts thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't be, like, treating Bob Cratchit as badly as I am.
Yeah.
So maybe he's starting to think there, hold on, I'm not doing what I should be here.
What about when he's at school?
I think that was the part that changed him the most, because he saw that when he was younger, him being so solitary and him being so lonely hurt him. And I feel like he saw the fact that it still wasn't a good feeling. He just built up a wall and kind of blocked out the fact that he wasn't happy with the way he was.
Yeah.
And like with life in general. So it's like he's kind of tricking himself himself from feeling those emotions.
Yeah, he starts to feel regret, doesn't he?
Yeah.
When he sees all of those things and how he treated Belle in that stave as well.
Yeah.
That goes shows him how she says that another idol has replaced me, a golden one. He's more obsessed with money than he is with her. So we can see that, you know, how it all started for Scrooge, and he was left alone. His father obviously wasn't very nice to him.
Yeah.
And then he was treated well when he was an apprentice and he enjoyed working there. But then he's got this kind of greed, hasn't he, that starts to creep up. And so he loses Belle, and that's like the first time we see something really drastic happen because of money to him, isn't it?
I also feel like when he saw, like when he relived his sister coming to save him, that kind of like reminded him of how much he loved her.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like showed him, why am I being so horrible to his nephew?
To Fred.
To
yeah.
Fred. Because it's like, if I love her so much, shouldn't I feel the same way about him?
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't I be kind to him?
Yeah.
But didn't she die during childbirth?
It's hinted at, but it doesn't say explicitly.
It could be like maybe he hates her because he took the one thing away that he truly loved.
Do you reckon, sorry, can I ask a question? Do you reckon Scrooge would be the way that he was at the beginning of the book if his sister was still alive?
No.
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 Okay.
She could have changed it.
Yeah.
I think she was his softness. I think everyone else was so cruel to him, and she was the only person that treated him like he was a human, like he deserved to be treated.
Yeah.
And I think that would have like showed him that it doesn't matter how others treat you, you can be better.
Yeah. I think he would have been close with Fred as well if she was still there.
Yeah.
Because she would have purposely brought them together.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he obviously was a nice person at one time. Mm-hmm. She loved him so much. And Belle loved him too. And, you know, he was kind to her at first. Because she'd agreed to marry him. So he must have been nice. It must have been this change for some reason that we don't really know why he changed. He just developed this love for money. I was just looking because it's he says in that stave, there was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should like to have given him something.
Yeah.
So he begins to regret the fact that he told the carol singer to go away. And he's thinking, you know, I should maybe have been kinder. Okay. What about the ghost of Christmas present then? What does he show him and why?
Well, he shows one of the things he shows ignorance and want. And obviously that's near the end of the Ghost of Christmas Present time. But he shows him that because he wants Scrooge to see what he truly is. He's ignorant and he wants and wants and wants and wants.
Yeah.
And he wants to see how that like that destructs people and that ruins people's lives and stuff.
He also shows him like how everybody thinks of him and how much of a bad place he's living in because of how he's acted towards people. Because like, it could have been a different story where everyone's dead nice to him, he's the most loved man ever, but it's not. So the present's trying to help him realise that he needs to change for the better.
Showing what he's like now, isn't he? And he's saying, this is what everyone else is doing Christmas Day.
Look
without
what you're doing.
You.
Yeah.
You're on your own. But I think you're right about the ignorance and wanted showing he's ignorant and he wants. Do you think that's reflective of today's society as well?
Yeah, definitely. Because I mean, there are those people who just want more than they can have, and there's those people who are still living in poverty, like in the Victorian times, and those people who aren't, and the people who aren't won't help the people in poverty. Not all of them, obviously, that, but like generally some of them.
Yeah, we're all a little bit ignorant and like to be that way sometimes, don't we? If I don't know about it, it's not my problem almost, but it is our problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like him showing ignorance and wants at the end reflects back into when he showed them the Cratchits and how they are, because they're so grateful for what they do have, even if it's not a lot, and even if some really bad things could happen to them, and they know that, they're still grateful for the time they get together and like for all the happy things that they do have, which Scrooge just isn't. He isn't happy for anything. He just wants as much money and as much as many possessions.
Yeah.
Like as he can get.
And they have what's their glass collection? It's like two tumblers and a custard cup or something like that, isn't it? So they don't have anything, even all their outfits, they're brave in ribbons, they dress them all up a little bit with ribbons, because, you know, they're things that they're old, ones. Aren't they? So they'll kind of, yeah, they can't afford any new ones. But they're warm, aren't they? They're always around a fire, it's warm, it's happy. Anytime we see that warmth, it's like family and happiness. So they are happy, and I think it will do Scrooge good to see that with Ghost of Christmas Present.
Plus, he's also like, it shows that Cratchit's wife hates Scrooge, but Cratchit admires him, because Cratchit thinks, like, oh, he's provided for my family, like, he's helped me provide for my family. But Cratchit's wife is clearly saying that he hasn't given enough, like, he's being selfish. So if I feel like when Scrooge sees how someone so humane and so like feeble and everything admires him, yet there is someone who's blatantly just telling the truth. So like Cratchit sort of disguises his sins now because he gave him a job, but Scrooge is actually he's seeing the truth from Cratchit's wife, and he's seeing the fact that he is selfish and should give people more and stuff like that.
It's both the wives, isn't it? It's Fred's wife too.
Yeah.
And Fred won't have it either, will he? You know, both Cratchit and Fred really stand up for him, and maybe that's shown him, you know, they're not, you know, saying things about me, they're being polite about me and kind about me, even though I've just treated them so badly. Okay, so Ghost of Christmas yet to come. Why is this one so important?
That was the final straw. Like when Scrooge saw his name on the gravestone, I feel like that was just like, that's it, I'm changed now, I can't go down that path.
Like he needs to, he knows he needs to change to feel better. And also him seeing Tiny Tim's grave as well, that could be a big sign of his redemption as well, because he doesn't want him to die. He's like the most grateful little boy ever, and like it's all because he won't give is the reason why the boy's dad, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then once he starts giving, I mean, he becomes like a second father to Tiny Tim.
Yeah. I was going to say, he says to the ghost, are these the shadows of the things that will be, or are they shadows of that may be only? So are they, will this definitely happen?
Yeah.
Or is it something that just may happen? You know, can it be changed, is what he wants to know, isn't it? Can I change things?
And he becomes more eager as you get towards the end. Like, he was just like, oh, go away, I don't want to see you, to the ghost. But then when he gets to the final ghost, he kneels and everything because he knows it's his time to change, and he's now eager to do so because he doesn't want to end up with a horrible fate.
And he fears him more than any other ghost, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does that mean he fears his future more?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so.
Because
if he
sees himself dead as well, he knows that no one's going to care, and he doesn't want to die that way. He hasn't missed it to himself in the past, but obviously going through all these with the different ghosts and whatever, he's realising that he doesn't want to die lonely with nobody there to care for him.
And even worse, they stole all of his curtains, his bed sheets, the thing he was dressed in. Nobody cared about him, did they, at all?
No, they just wanted what he had.
Yeah.
They just wanted all of his stuff. They didn't care that he was a person.
Yeah.
All they saw was his money.
That's only his fault, though. If he went to, like, obsessed with it, people would see him as a person.
Yeah, but maybe he was only obsessed with it as an escape from reality. He's lost his sister, his partner, he's lost people in the past, he's had a very lonely childhood, so maybe he thought, maybe my obsession with money helps me escape the fact that I've got no problems at all, and it helps me live a good life, even though, obviously, he's lost people on the way.
Yeah.
What about the end now?
He isn't really living that good life, because he's refusing to spend money.
Yeah.
He won't spend it, he's just letting it pile up.
Yeah.
Like, he won't even turn on a light, he's only using, like,
music hall for the fire.
Yeah. Like, he's not using the money to have a good life, he's just, it's like it's a comfort blanket for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning, he's described as tight-fisted, squeeze and wrenching, old sinner, secret and self-contained, solitary as an oyster, he has old features, pointed nose, eyes red, thin lips blue, grating voice and a wiry chin. At the end, These are the words used to describe him: fluttered, glowing, laughing, light as a feather, happy as an angel, merry as a schoolboy. He chuckled, a good friend, good master, good man.
Merry as a schoolboy. He was, before obviously he was left alone, he was happy when he was a schoolboy with his sister and his friends from the village and everything. And it's literally saying how now that the weight of the money, literally light as a feather, now that the weight of the money has gone off him, he can live a normal life and he can be happy and merry again.
So he's a sinner at the beginning, he's an angel at the end.
Yeah.
So that just shows, I think just those two words show that transformation of him and that redemption, doesn't it? And I also think it's interesting that he's still got a pointed nose, he's still going to have thin lips,
he's not going to physically change,
no.
But they're not his like spotlight features anymore.
No.
Because
now his heart is.
Yeah.
Now the fact that he's a good person.
Yeah. Good friend, good master, good man.
People focused on his appearance because they didn't actually know who he was. Now that they know who he was, they don't need to care about his appearance anymore. Do you know what's on the inside?
Yeah.
Like April was saying.
Yeah. And as I said, sinner to angel.
I feel like Dickens might have intended that though, because during that time, it's like the Victorian period and everything, some people were just like, people were resorting to crime to get by and everything. And I feel like he just wanted people to realise that if you might have been a sinner, you might have been the devil, but it doesn't mean you can't change, and it doesn't mean you're stuck with that fate. Like Scrooge was able to change. If someone as like miserly could change, then anybody can.
Yeah.
As long as you know why they're changing.
Yeah. And he wants the book to haunt our houses,
yeah.
Doesn't he? He says in the preface that he wants it to haunt our bookshelves, and he'll be at your elbow while you're reading it and that kind of thing. So he wants this book to have a long lasting. You know, because he knows it will be relevant in the future.
It's never going to change. Yeah. The fact that you need to be a good person in society, that's never going to change.
I think it's nice how he didn't intend, like in the preface he said, he doesn't intend for the ghosts to be scary. He just wants them to prove a point and to spread a message.
It's a good little ghostly story, isn't
yeah.
it? So, there we go. That's Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Jack.